Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to episode 171 of Geek Town Radio. I'm your host Dave and I have with me Daryl. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
So what have you been up to? Been a few weeks since you've been on, hasn't it?
It has been a few weeks. Mostly I've been playing World of Warcraft.
Ah, yes.
Yes, that MMO.
I'd noticed a little bit of an uptick on the World of Warcraft posts on Reddit. So yes, I know they've released something new, haven't
they?
Yeah,
we have the brand new expansion. It's called Battle for Azeroth. Yeah. And short sell is that it goes back to the heart of World of Warcraft, which is Alliance versus Horde.
Good.
You get a nice little lead in if you log into the game beforehand, which sees one side commit an atrocity, you could say, and right. That spurs and that restarts the war after the previous expansion, which saw both of them fighting together against a demonic invasion.
Aha, I see. It's been a while since I've been on Warcraft. I went back.
Warcraft has been around for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I played obsessively for a number of years and then dropped away a bit. And I think I went back after the Cataclysm. Played a little bit after the Cataclysm and then finally managed to get the Warcraft monkey off my back. So yeah. So I've kind of kept away since then. And I sort of don't want to get back into it because I know I'll get really sucked into it again.
It's a massive time investment.
Yes, it is. But it's such good fun, though. It is a really fun game. It's nice to see it going back to its roots again. They were producing, I don't know whether this has come out yet, weren't they producing like an original sort of back to basics World of Warcraft as well? So you could back in time.
Yeah, you could, what people in the know call WoW Vanilla, which is the original 1 to 60 level experience. They've announced it, but it's not out yet.
Right, okay.
So and that's being done by Blizzard itself. So yeah, there'll be servers that can go on where you can just play the way the game was at the beginning with learning how to learn weapon skills and missing if you haven't got enough weapon skills, stuff like that. Lots of things which have been taken out of the game to make it more, I don't know, commercially friendly, you could argue.
Yes, and sort of make leveling easier and that sort of stuff. Yeah,
significantly easier.
Every time I see there's a new expansion, it does really tempt me, and I'm resisting at the moment. So, what else?
I watched The Last Nido. It's About Time, which I had to, and also at Hollywood News Source, our editor went to the red carpet.
Really?
I'm in Hollywood. Cool. Yep. So you can go and check our Instagram, and you should be able to see pictures of all the stars. It stars Ian Ziering, Tara Reid, and Cassandra Serbo.
Right.
And if you don't know what Sharknado is, well, come off that rock you've been living in. And this surprised me. That's number 6, and it is the final one.
Yes.
And the big theme of it is time travel. And it is surprisingly good.
Really?
It's not better than, say, I would say, the last 3 sequels.
Okay,
it tells a very coherent story. There's not too much. I felt like in the middle ones, there's a lot of, I don't understand why this is happening, or who that person is, or why they've done all this retroactive continuity stuff.
Right.
But in this, it's actually a really solid film. It reminds me of the first one, which I thought was epic.
Right, okay. I mean, I have to admit, I've never seen any of the Sharknado movies. It wasn't something that ever really appealed to me. but it's nice to see that they've actually got some coherent story in the latest one. I mean, not that you necessarily go to the Sharknado movie for a particularly coherent story, but, you know, I mean, it's a Sharknado movie.
Yeah, but when you make, if you make a choice to have sequels, you want to have some sort of story. I don't mind watching a one-off B-movie where the plot makes no sense, because it's a one-off B-movie. You know what you're signing up for. But in a sequel, there should be some follow-through.
Yeah.
And you could just rent them on Amazon. And obviously, if you have Sci-Fi UK, it will no doubt be all over your thing soon.
Yes,
I'm sure. That was the 20th.
Yes, so I will. Maybe I should go and check them out at some point.
I would say watch the first one and then see how you feel. Yeah. If you don't like it, obviously, there's no point continuing on. But if you think it's funny, then it's definitely worth it.
Okay. Maybe I should go.
What you want to see in this one is that I think a big problem after the first one is that after that, they had a lot of celebrity cameos. And I think they did that and put it above the storyline. So a lot of reasons. Yeah. So you had a lot of people being dragged in and it didn't make sense. There are a few cameos, but they make a lot more sense in the time travel storyline.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So, what's the next one you've got on your list? Freakish.
The next one is Freakish, which is a Hulu original series. It's a horror half-hour show about kids in a high school in detention and like training and other things. I'm just doing school activities on a Saturday, and the local chemical plant blows up and turns everyone else into rage monsters.
Awesome. And that sounds fun.
Yeah. And it came over here on ITV2. They had a collaboration with Hulu, which meant they grabbed a few of their original shows.
Yes.
I've only just gotten into it. It lasted for 2 seasons. Unfortunately, it's already been cancelled.
Right.
But, I mean, come on. High school zombie series. That's definitely worth at least a 2-hour investment.
Yeah, that does look fun. So, yes, I might go and have to look that one up as well.
And the last thing is everyone's favourite series, Winona Earp.
Yes.
Again, on Spike TV, 1 week behind the US, which is great.
Yes, it's surprisingly good programming from the people at Channel 5.
I think it's just down to the sheer fact that Winona Earp is probably the strongest online thing. So even with that week thing, I get spoiled all the time online.
Right, yeah.
Everyone immediately jumps on and starts talking about it. Obviously, it's my own fault for following quite a few Earp counts. But
Yes. That is it. If you're not in the US, you probably should stop following those. But then if you're also a journalist, you sort of have to follow those. So.
Yeah. They're in a problem. But getting back to it, it's a great show. It's just a lot of fun. It's based on a comic book of the same name, and it seems to be approved of by the creator.
That's always a good sign, yes.
Yes. And even, like, I think he's collaborated with one or two of the stars on writing new books.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah. So it stars Melanie Scafano, who I remember from a little show called The Listener.
Yes.
Tim Roseon, who's known for Lost Girl. Dominique Provost-Chalkley, who's a British actor, and is known for a couple of dance-related shows.
Yes, we actually interviewed her in 2016, I think it was. We interviewed her.
Excellent.
Yes, lovely lady.
So that's how I've been spending my time since last I've been on.
Well, I mean, I've been looking at a bunch of new shows, not particularly genre-related at all, really, but... The first one was Mr. Mercedes, which is running on Stars Play, which is this additional add-on channel that you can get for Amazon Prime. So it's like $5.99 a month, I think. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons I've finally signed up for it is because they've also picked up Counterpart, which is coming at the end of September. Why it's not on there now and why they've waited till the end of September, I'm not sure. But season one of that is coming at the end of September to Stars Play. And I think it was actually a 2-season pickup when they first did it.
Oh, okay.
So that's already definitely been renewed, which is about sort of a guy who, you know, Counterpart's about a guy that works at a sort of government facility, and it turns out that it's actually the doorway to an alternate dimension. But that's supposed to be a really good show. So that's coming at the end of September. So that got me to sign up. And one of the things that's also on there is an adaptation of Mr. Mercedes, which is a Stephen King book. So Mr. Mercedes stars Brendan Gleeson, who you'll know from things like In Bruges and 28 Days Later, as a retired detective. He's being sort of tormented by a serial killer who's played by Harry Treadaway from Penny Dreadful. And he's getting sort of letters and emails through from him, just sort of tormenting him about this sort of, you see what he does fairly early on in the first episode. So it starts off with Brendan Gleeson's characters still on the job, and this is sort of the case that got away from him. And it then time skips forward a bit, and he's retired, and he starts to get these letters and emails and stuff from Harry Treadway's character. It's quite a lot slower than I imagined it would be. I've only watched the first episode so far, but it does have that very much a sort of Stephen King kind of feel to it. It's not a particularly quick show to move forward. You get a lot of background stuff about what's happening in the detective's life, stuff about the serial killer and sort of, you know, what he's doing in his life and that sort of stuff. So you've got quite a lot of heavy background stuff going on, as well as this beginnings of this sort of cat and mouse thing, which starts off in the first episode. It's a really interesting show, though. I really enjoyed it, so I'm looking forward to watching the rest of that. I also went and looked at another Amazon show, actually, Mozart in the Jungle. And the reason for doing this is because we're potentially going to have the sound designer from Mozart in the Jungle on later at some point. So I needed to watch a few episodes. And it's one of those shows that has never massively appealed to me. It's basically about the New York Philharmonic Orchestra, and it's a drama, or it's rather drama comedy. And it's about the New York Philharmonic, a new conductor comes in, and it's about sort of the people in the Philharmonic and the conductor and the sort of tension between him and the outgoing guy who he's replaced, and the fact that he's sort of a bit of a maverick and, you know, that sort of stuff. Uh-huh. And it was one of those things that I kind of looked at and thought, I don't know whether I really fancy this, but I've got to watch a couple of episodes because we're potentially having the person on. So I started watching it on Friday and binged watched my way through the entire first season. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was really entertaining. It's funny. The characters are really interesting. It ran for four seasons. I think it's actually ended now, but it ran for four seasons. Really fun show. It's one of those things. It was a bit like Unreal. I first watched Unreal because we were interviewing one of the guys. And
I can never get into that.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that show as well. And it was the same sort of thing I got with Mozart in the Jungle. You know, I thought, I don't really want to watch this sort of show. And ended up being really surprised and thoroughly enjoyed it. So a lot of interesting characters and just very well written, well-rounded. Having grown up playing musical instruments and stuff, and playing in bands and orchestras and that sort of thing, I think that has a certain amount of appeal to it as well for me. So I've really enjoyed it. It's worth going to check out, and that's on Amazon Prime. Instinct, which is the Alan Cumming series, came onto Sky Witness this week for the first time. It's pretty much the sort of Castle-esque procedural drama.
I call it a serious castle.
Yes. Yeah, I guess it is. I mean, although it's not necessarily that, it's a bit more serious, Castle. It's not even that much more serious than Castle was.
I know. I always thought Castle, like, it was very silly. It didn't detract from the mystery, but it got really silly or something.
Yes,
I mean,
yes,
maybe because of the will they, won't they thing just sort of overshadowed some of the things. Whereas,
yeah,
you're not going to get those, and some of those things are pretty dark.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it. I mean, you like things like Castle, though, if you like things like Castle, if you like things like, I don't know, Elementary, or, you know, those sort of American two-person... Yeah, that sort of procedural, US procedural thing, you'll like Instinct. It's exactly in that sort of mold. Alan Cumming's incredibly watchable as the lead. It's a fun show. And like you say, it is a little darker than something like Castle, but it's still a really interesting sort of lead character. And worth watching. And then Bodyguard, which started last night on, because we're recording this on the Monday, so it started last night on BBC One. This is the new drama that they've got coming out, starring Richard Madden from Game of Thrones and Keely Hawes from The Durrells and Spooks and Line of Duty and everything else on TV. And I really enjoyed it. I mean, the first episode, it comes from Jeb Mercurio, who is the guy that wrote Line of Duty. So you know that it's going to be a reasonable quality written drama. Very interesting opening with Richard Madden's character, who's called David Budd, stopping a terrorist attack on a train in London, and very, very kind of tense open to it. And he then gets assigned to protect the Home Office Minister, played by Keely Hoyles. And it sort of goes on from there, really. And, you know, he's an ex-soldier, so she is kind of the person who is in the position that was responsible for sending the soldiers to places like Afghanistan and that sort of stuff. And he's very disillusioned by his experience over there. So, you know, he's sort of then having to protect the person who he really doesn't believe the politics of. So it's an interesting mix that you've got going on. But it's certainly, if you like shows like Line of Duty, if you like things like Spooks and that sort of stuff, two very, very good actors in the lead roles. Well worth going to watch. The first episode went out last night, so it'll be on iPlayer. Next episode goes out tonight, because like I say, recording this on the Monday, so next episode goes out tonight, and then the following episodes go out every Sunday. So yeah, definitely want to go and watch though. I really enjoyed it. The other thing that I've done this week is it was the Insomnia 63 Gaming Festival in Birmingham. So I went along to that and had a chat with some of the indie gamers over there. There were some really good indie games. I mean, there's some big titles there as well. I mean, you know, Nintendo were there. And so I played a bit of things like the Mario Kart games, and had a go on their cardboard thing that they have.
Oh yeah.
Had a play with that. They had one which was like the robot suit one, where you kind of put on like a backpack and stuff, and you get to stomp around a town smashing buildings down in the sort of suit. So that was quite good fun, and played with a lot of that sort of stuff. They got quite a bit of VR things there. Did get my hands on the new Spider-Man game, which actually seems like it's going to be a decent Spider-Man game for the first time in a very long time. It's got sort of elements of things like GTA in terms of it being a big kind of open world and things going off like bank robberies you can foil and that sort of thing, as well as having this through plot as well. I took a friend's 11-year-old son with me because he was a huge gaming fan and his mum didn't want to take him, so I had to take him along with him. Okay. So I took him along with me. And what was really funny though, it was we queued up to get into the Spider-Man game. Mm-hmm. And got to the front of the line, and they went, oh, well, pointed to me and said, well, you can go in and play. He can only go in and watch. He's not allowed to actually play because it's a 16 game. It's
is like, it? Well, wow, yeah, I didn't realize it was rated that big.
Apparently, it's rated 16. I don't get.
And so what maniac put a 16 rated on a Spider-Man game?
I have no idea. I don't get why it's a 16 rated game. What I found really stupid, though, was the fact that they allowed him to go in and watch. He just couldn't play. And there was nothing in there that would have been worse than watching the film, which I believe is a 12 rating. So it made no sense to me at all. But the game itself was fun. He was glad he kind of managed to get to sit and, you know, watch it at least. But it seemed a bit unfair that because he's a huge gaming fan, that he could actually sit and play. And I get it. I get they can't let him if it's a 16 rated game. Yeah. But it doesn't make sense that he can then go in and watch it.
The only thing is that, I know, that was my kid. I wouldn't be particularly excited about the idea of going in without him.
Even though I was there as his guardian for the day, and even though I said it was fine, because I knew his mum would be okay with it, I just found it very bizarre that they actually let him go in with me and watch me play, but he wasn't allowed to touch the controls.
Do you know what it is in... Oh, let me look it up and see what it is in America. So in America, it's rated a teen. So it doesn't, and that's one of those reasons that doesn't prevent people from buying it.
Right, okay.
So, but I have read, I have seen the reasons, and they do reference that there is a scene where a character in the background shoots himself in the head.
Okay, well, yeah.
And there's another one of a mugger shooting someone. So I guess, yeah. So I look at that, and I've seen like the way that, I can see why that would give it a 16 here.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But the demo wasn't going to show any of that, so, oh well, anyway.
That's an interesting idea.
The other games that I played, though, we spent a lot of time around the indie area. There were some great indie games out there. So I sat down and interviewed a couple of the guys there. So we're not going to have a big interview this week. They're going to have, like, three little interviews with some of these indie gamers. The first one I played was called Honey, I Joined a Cult. At first glance at it, when you look at it, it's very Prison Architect. it's got, if you know the game Prison Architect, it's sort of, you know, the you basically build and manage a prison. In this case, you are building and managing a cult, but it does have a bunch of extra things which you don't get in Prison Architect. It has like a town map where you can go out and wander around and stuff. So I sat down with the developers of that and had a little sort of 5-minute conversation with them about sort of, you know, their inspiration, what their background is, and a bit more about the game. So here's me chatting with the people behind Honey, I Joined a Cult.
I'm Simon Reynolds, and my game is Honey, I Joined a Cult, which is a management tycoon game where you get to create and build your own 1970s cult.
It's sort of Prison Architect inspired, possibly, in terms of the look anyway.
Anyone who looks at it will instantly see that it looks graphically very similar to Prison Architect, Rimworld, a few other games that have come out recently. You know, we don't apologize for that. We like those games. We like the art style, but the game plays very differently to those games. I mean, you start your own cult, you can customize your cult, choose what you want your worshippers to, you know, worship, what their gods are and things like that. So obviously that plays very differently to things like Rimworld and Prison Architect. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with it being like Prison Architect, because one, that's a brilliant game. Two, there's so many of that use that sort of art style now, it's almost become its own kind of genre or subgenre.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think there's a few reasons for that. First of all, people do actually like the look of it like we do. The other thing is that it's quite good for indie devs like us. It's quite a basic style. It doesn't require, you know, an art team and lots of animation. You know, the characters move around, they stand next to objects, and you know that they're, you know that they'll be sitting down. You'll know that they'll be using that computer, you know, just with a couple of particle effects and things like that. So it's great for us, and, you know, we're very happy with the style. So
what's your experience of developing before this?
Well, nothing before this, I have to say. Both myself and Ed, we're a two-man studio. We used to do completely different things. I used to be a lawyer. Ed used to do technical drawing, kind of designing things for houses. But we've always been gamers. We've always wanted to develop our own game. And so we took a rather extreme step one day of just deciding that we were going to go for it. We came up with this concept, which we thought was quite novel. There's can't really see any other games where you can decide to do this, you know, this kind of tycoon management type thing with a cult. And so we kind of quit our jobs about 18 months ago and decided to make this. And we started from it's a high risk strategy. it remains to be seen, you know, how it will work out. But it seems to be going quite well so far. We're pleased with what we've done, given that we started with, you know, we have no experience of programming or any type of game development at all. So we really started off basic on this. We decided to use Game Maker, as it was quite, you know, kind of newbie friendly. And we're slowly getting there with it. So
yeah, I had a play with it day before yesterday, and really good fun. Really, really good fun. I'm kind of predisposed to liking these sorts of games anyway. You know, I like the sort of building thing, but you have the added addition of sending people out into the town, and you have the map, and, you know, it isn't just like a clone. There's a lot of different elements to it as well that you don't get with some of the other games.
Exactly. So it is like, you know, the graphical style is similar, and obviously there is a base building element which is similar to, you know, things like Prison Architect. But we came up with the concept of this first, and the art style came after. It was just, you know, what worked for us and what we like. Yeah, exactly. So we're happy to do it, but you can do. At the moment, it's still in, you know, fairly early alpha, but we're just implementing. We've done that, you know, we've got the basics of the base building down. But yeah, there is a city map where you'll be able to send your cultists out, which all have, you know, they each have individual skills, so they're, you know, better at different things. You'll be able to send them out on different missions. It might be to recruit people at various different places, or it might be to do something nefarious, like, you know, poison the water supply. So you can do that on the world map, but also there's going to be a tech tree where you can do things like have different rituals, initiation ceremonies, things like that for your cult, which we, you know, think are quite fun, that can add actually something to the game mechanics as well. Yeah, so there's a lot of other things, and obviously there's the customization as well, which people really like. So, you know, whatever you've named your god, you see the people, you know, they'll be chanting it, they'll be saying it, it'll be, they'll be worshipping the item that you've chosen. Yeah. So we think it's, you know, we think it's fun to play. And, you know, people do seem to, they go through the customization. Some people spend a very long time just doing that because, yeah, you know, it's a fun thing.
People love the customization stuff.
Yeah, exactly. The people who are, you know, on it at the moment, I think they spent about like 15 minutes just kind of thinking of funny things they want to put it on, you know, funny objects to worship kind of thing. But that's what we want. We know that if people are going to sit there and think about that, they're probably going to enjoy the game because there's nothing funner than choosing your God and then seeing people, you know, worship that kind of thing. So,
yeah, no, absolutely. Well, it's really good fun. I'm looking forward to seeing a bit more of it. Where can people find information about it?
So we have a Steam page up. It's not been released yet because it's still in development, but we have a Steam page up where people can wishlist it, and we put updates on the community forums, and we've also asked people on that forum for ideas about things that they want to see on, you know, in the game, and we do listen to that. We've had some very interesting kind of things come through that, some of which, you know, we're actually starting to implement. We're also on Twitter, we're also on Facebook, we're also on Instagram. So if you look for Soul Survivor Games on any of those, you will come up straight away. Well, it should come up straight away.
So that's Soul Survivor Games, and the game's called Honey, I Joined a Cult.
Yes, that's great. You should be able to find it. It's a fairly unique name. So
yes.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
So that was the people from Honey, I Joined a Cult. Really fun game. You can go and find that online. Next game I tried was a one called Stuntful, which is a really interesting mix of a kind of a football game, but played with stuntmen that are sort of floating as though they were falling through the air. It's a really intriguing sort of game. Apparently it's got other modes as well, but they're fairly early in development. So the mode that they had that they were showing off on this was this football mode where you can either play as a team against AI bots. I think they've got 4-player local or 8-player online play, so you can have like a load of people in. It was really, really fun because it's quite difficult to control because you are sort of floating, so it's quite a hard game to control, but it was really good fun to play through. So here's the guys behind Stuntful to talk a little more about it.
Hello, I am Tom. I work for Leverboss Games on the game Stuntful.
Okay, so Stuntful, do you want to describe what you have to do in the game?
So basically you're a stuntman in front of a green screen. We've got multiple party game modes, but at this event we're showing off football mode where you are falling through the air. You've got to get a football to the other team's goal, basically like football, but with weird characteristics on the balls.
Yes, and the balls change sort of every game.
Yes.
So you've got different shape maps. I've been playing around with it and just losing very badly on both occasions. You've got the idea of the kind of balls changing and they have an effect. Where did the idea for the game come from?
Well, we had a game which was basically like the Hole in the Wall TV show, but we brought it to Insomnia 59, I think, and it wasn't that fun. We found out pretty quickly from the event. We took it back to the drawing board and used what we had to build a football game mode around it, because that was sort of kicking off at the time of Rocket League and stuff like that. So yeah, it sort of built from there, and then we're like, why not make party games out of it? And it's worked.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it does. So yeah, how many players can you have then?
16 players online and 4 players local.
Okay, cool. And you're each sort of picking different teams. It's very infuriating when you've got like 3 goals and somebody just steals like the goal from you at the last minute.
Yeah, yeah, it can be.
So yeah, no, it's really good fun though. We were playing a bit on the couple of days ago as well on Friday when we were here. Had a really great time with it. It's a really fun game. Where can people find more information about it?
Yep, so you can head across to our Twitter, which is @Stompful or @LevelBossGames, that's for the company. We also have a Patreon where we're doing our early access schemes. So it's $2 a month and you get early access to the builds as we bring them out every month. Yeah, that's about it. Just on Twitter, really.
And where are you looking to release it?
So we're looking at Steam. That's a definite. We're looking at trying to go through the Switch route because it's sort of perfectly tailored for our game. And then if it sells, we'll bring it to consoles as well. But Steam first. That's the focus.
Okay. And any idea of when you're planning to try and get it out?
We're saying Easter next year, but that could be sort of variable. That's why we're pushing people towards the Twitter, so we can give them updates there.
Okay, cool. And it's called Stuntful. Awesome. Thank you for chatting.
So that was Stuntful, and the last game we tried was a game called Card Life. Card Life, kind of like Minecraft, but everything is made out of cardboard. So it's not big and sort of blocky, but it does have a really specific aesthetic to it. So when you're cutting down things, you're using kind of, you know, an axe to cut through cardboard trees and stuff. But it looks looks stunning. And you can actually go and find this online right now. I think it's cardlifegame.com is the address to go and find that. But had a really nice chat with them as well. So here's the guys from Card Life talking about their game.
Essentially, Card Life is by Free Jam. So we started out development of this game about 2 years ago. Free Jam is a games developer. We've already got a game out on Steam called Rubbercraft. It's got around about 13 million players, which is really good. And obviously, we've got ambitions to make Card Life just as big. So Rubbercraft is a free-to-play game, and Card Life is a pay-up-front game. It's the first time we've ever done it as a studio, so we're pretty excited to see what the potential is for that. The reason why we've adopted a pay-up-front approach is because we really want Card Life to be a tour de force in the modding scene. Like, everything you see when it comes to the created characters, like, all these are flat 2D layers, and, like, they're PNGs in the game folder, and players are free to edit those PNGs as much as they want, start their own servers, so... For example, if they're like, hey, we think your Triceratops are rubbish, we want to make better ones, you can. You can also change the JSON files as well to essentially change the parameters of server. So, for example, if you don't like our hunger system, you can change it. Really, you can change a lot with Card Life. And obviously, the premise of the game is it's an open world sandbox. It is very much kind of similar to Minecraft or Ark in terms of it's all about establishing a base, and once you've got a base of operations, you can kind of make your way more inside the biome. So we've only got one biome at the moment, but we will be adding as many as four later on down the line. They'll kind of take you through we've got the prehistoric biome in the game at the moment, but it'll take you through lots of different ages, and you'll start getting the we call it a science fantasy game, and what we mean by that is that you'll be able to have mechs in the game, you'll be able to ride mechs with your friends, and, you know, do lots of crazy stuff. So, you know, what you see on the show floor is really the beginning of what the game is. You know, it's all about that stable 1 to 20 hour experience. And I think at the moment, you know, we're just really excited to get the game in front of more people, really. Like, we've been working on it for 2 years. We knew that we had something cool with the cardboard aesthetic because we're doing something that other people weren't really doing. And really, we've been kind of squirreling away, working with our community to essentially make the game a lot better. So, yeah, that's kind of it in a nutshell at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I was playing around with it earlier, and the cardboard aesthetic is really lovely. Really, really lovely. I mean, it is very Minecraft-esque, but I mean, I love those sort of building games anyway, so I have no problem with that sort of thing. I love that sort of aesthetic. You've also got the nice thing with you have the sort of templates for the different...
The connect the dots system is great. So essentially, the first thing you do when you join a server is you create a character. So the way that it works is that it's, let's say you're trying to create a head. You've got several different points that you need to connect in order to make that head, but you can make that crude shape whatever you want. So, you know, if you want to have like a big dude in a space helmet, you can totally do that. If you want to have a little guy with a massive hole in his face for whatever reason, you can totally do that. Because you've got a scissors tool in there as well. Yeah. So it's just really fun. What's amazing when we come to events like this is that we never know what sort of things people are going to create. And there's something about the cardboard aesthetic. Like, people make things that you don't anticipate they're going to make. And obviously the Minecraft comparison gets made all the time. And we like that. We relish that. Yeah, we like Minecraft as a game. Sure. And I think it gives a good stable for people to kind of get a grasp of what the game actually is.
Yeah, I mean, I really like that sort of the idea that you can go in and you can cut out, you know, not only your character's head, but you can also do the same with all the weapons and the armor. And you can, like, I was messing around with like the armor front plate yesterday and put a bat symbol on it. And, you know, you can do things like that. It's really fun and gives you that feeling of like cutting things out in cardboard, which is just lovely. It's got a really tangible feel to it. I really like
it. It definitely does. And we've had loads of people come to the booth and say, hey, can I buy like my custom character offline and stuff? We don't have that. That's a great idea. I mean, in the studio, we love messing around with papercraft and cardboard and stuff anyway. Like, when we were developing the game, the very first thing that we did was we bought some crazy, this cardboard castle. And our lead designer, Rich, was basically filling with it for like 2 months to kind of figure out how to make the creative tools. But they're in a really good place. Like, we're going to add more stuff. Like, at the moment, the connect the dots system is all drawn freehand with like the mouse. We're going to be adding more templates to the game, but also more tools. So you'll be able to have like mirror mode and, you know, more, if you want to make like a square dude, you'll be able to do that as well. So loads of flexibility in it. Like what we're showing on the show floor here is the game that you can buy. It's currently available, but, you know, we're adding to the game every single month. So yeah, we're really committed to kind of just growing it and responding with the community. Like every 3 months we send out they're turning into 3 months, but we tend to want to do them a bit more often. Like send out just an email to everyone that's bought the game, just saying, hey, how are you getting on? Is there anything you want to tell us about your experiences? And those have been super, super helpful. So yeah, the game is continuing to evolve all the time. And we just beefed up the team as well. So there used to be about 12 of us working on it. Now there's 25. And over the past 3 months, past 2 months and a bit, there's been about 25 people working on it. And you're starting to see the fruit of that labor now, which is really cool.
So if people want more information about Card Life, where can they find it?
So the best place to go is cardlifegame.com. There you'll be able to see the game. You'll be able to purchase it for £10 or $11.99. And, you know, just even if you are not ready to buy the game yet, still sign up, create an account. We run competitions all the time to get access to the game, but also you'll find out when we're adding crazy things. So for example, the last update, we added a giant tortoise and a triceratops. We're adding loads more stuff. So yeah, that's the best thing to do.
Awesome, awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing more of it. It's really fun.
Can't wait to see what people make with it.
So that was the guys from Card Life. There was a few other indie games there as well, which were really quite fun. I do love the indie sections when you go to these gaming festivals. They tend to have the most interesting selection of games for me, rather than kind of going to the Nintendo or the PlayStation stand. I think the indie games are where a lot of the innovation is at. I had really good fun down at Insomnia. It's well worth going to. They do two or three a year, I think, of the Insomnia festivals. So they are around if you want to go and look them up. But I think it's insomnia.com or Insomnia Gaming Festival if you want to go and look that up. So with that stuff out of the way, let's move on to the TV and film news.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we kick off the TV and film news this week with renewals, cancellations and pickups as usual. Lethal Weapon released a promo for their upcoming third season of the show, which of course has Sean William Scott's new character in it. Have you seen this promo?
I've seen the poster.
Right, okay.
I don't know. It's a weird one. I just don't know what will happen.
Yeah.
It's just like, obviously the fans can push back and kill it.
Yeah.
Or they could embrace this.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people, whenever we post a story about this online, there's a lot of people that are saying, oh, you know, they treated Clint Crawford terribly, and you know, it's not the same. How can you have Lethal Weapon without Riggs and all that sort of stuff? I mean, I want to give the guy a chance, and you know, Clint Crawford kind of shot himself in the foot slightly, but you could also blame the production company itself, because there are a lot of things I think that failed him as well as himself with some of his attitude, but there were a lot of things I think that failed along in the production as well that let it get to that point. I mean, I don't know. I don't know whether they were right or wrong to do it. I wasn't there. I don't know what the right decision was, but I think Sean William Scott's very watchable as an actor, and I mean, the little clips, you don't get a lot from that promo, but we'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, but I just wonder, is he sort of this crazy as Riggs, or crazy a different way?
I think it's crazy in a different way. I think they've got a different take on that sort of crazy kind of character. I think he's ex-CIA or something, the character that they're using.
Oh, okay.
So it's a different characterization. I don't know, but we'll see what happens. It's not come back for a full-length season. It's not like 22 episodes. It's only 10 episodes, I think, they're doing this time around. So it will be a case of seeing how this goes, I think, and if this works, then we may see it for a full season, but who knows. So that's, of course, coming to ITV. I think it's probably going to end up being next year. I think it's out in September in the US. US, but it will probably end up being next year in the UK because they seem to run it in January on ITV. So we'll wait and see. Other pickups, we've got The Purge TV series. That is coming on the 5th of September, just hours after the US, to Amazon Prime UK. So if you've got Amazon Prime, that you can watch The Purge TV series. Never seen the movies. It's never really appealed to me.
Nope, so I've never seen them either.
Never really been something that appealed to me. But I know there are a lot of fans of The Purge out there. So it's there on Amazon Prime, or it will be on the 5th of September if you want to go and look at it. The Gifted Season 2 has got a premiere date now in the UK, which I'm very much looking forward to. Sunday, 14th of October at 9 p.m. on Fox. That's coming back. Very much looking forward to that because I really enjoyed the first season. Counterpart, as we mentioned earlier on in the show, this is this new drama that's coming to Stars Play on the 28th of September. Season 1 has run fully, so they will be dropping the whole of Season 1 on there. I do wonder if they're doing that to run it maybe into Season 2, which is why they're starting it on that specific date. But
well, maybe.
So we'll see. But yeah, 28th of September for Counterpart. The Durrells, they announced it will end with Season 4, which I think had been rumoured for a while. Again, it's another show I've not really watched, but the ITV series. Yeah, ITV series starring Keely Hawes again. But that is going to end at Season 4. Channel 4 has renewed the end of the King World for Season 2. That will be coming back. I didn't actually watch this, even though it is a comic book adaptation. I sort of feel I should, but it's on Netflix because it was co-production with Netflix.
Yeah, co-production.
And it's on Netflix and All 4 if you want to go and catch that. I think it actually ran out on All 4. I think they only actually premiered the first episode on Channel 4 and then put the rest of it online. So it must have done well for them.
Ooh.
And the big news, of course, this week with The Big Bang Theory is to end with Season 12, yeah. Which gets a very mixed reaction. Some people going, no, I can't do without Sheldon. Other than people going about flaming time. So I don't know which camp you fall into with this. But
I think I probably stopped watching perhaps in Season 10.
Right, okay.
It just started feeling repetitive to me.
Yeah.
But you can't not say it's the biggest comedy series of the 2000s.
No, absolutely. I mean, it is the biggest sitcom in the world pretty much at the moment. And the fact that it sounds like it was Jim Parsons who was the person that sort of brought it to an end, from the bits and pieces I was reading, it sounds like it was Jim Parsons that said he didn't want to do it anymore. And
makes sense. I can see, just by the new stuff, the amount of other projects that he's out there producing and stuff, that he may just want to free himself up to.
Yeah, I think, and you know, it will have been, by the time it ends, it will have been the longest running sitcom in the history of US television, I think. So, yeah. I mean, that's a reasonable place to bring it to an end. I can understand entirely he has wanted to move on. The other guys are going to end up on other shows, I'm fairly sure. And even if they don't, it's not as if they're going to be short of money. So... So, you know, it gives them freedom to go off and do other things. There's been rumours of it ever since, what, Season 10, that it was going to be coming to an end. So, yeah. I mean, I'm still watching it.
And I think that made the double renewal makes a lot more sense.
Yeah,
than they were gearing up to end the production.
It is probably about time that it came to an end. Yeah. You know, they're all got married, they're getting kids, you know. I mean, you are getting down that sort of route of it not just being about these bunch of geeks and their female neighbor, which is where it kind of started. So it's advanced to a point where maybe it is probably time to bring it to an end. But I am still watching it. I mean, I do still find it funny. And I don't think it was as funny as it was at the start. I don't think it's quite as clever as it was at the start.
But, I was always a big fan of the guest stars that used to bring for like limited run.
Yeah, it has had some amazing guest stars, from like, you know, Stephen Hawking, you know, through to Will Wheaton and various other people that they've brought on. And so that's always been fun to have the guest stars on. So I'll be interested to see who pops up in the final season. Moving on to other news. There's been a lot of DC news around this week, mainly casting stuff, but really interesting sort of casting bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Brendan Fraser has joined DC's Doom Patrol series, apparently. He's going to be playing Robot Man. I don't know Doom Patrol particularly as a comic book. I don't know whether that's one you're massively
It's not one of the ones I know of.
So it's, I mean, Doom Patrol is basically about a bunch of outcast superheroes, Robot Man, Negative Man, Elastigirl, and Crazy Jane, led by the chief, Dr. Niles Calder. This is one of the shows that's coming to DC Universe, their new streaming service. All the superheroes on the show are given superhuman abilities by a horrible accident of one sort of another, and they kind of all brought together due to the fact that they're all got their powers through various accidents. Robot Man, his real name is Cliff Steele. He's a former race car driver who was in a horrific accident, left his body uninhabitable. So his brain is saved by Dr. Calder, and Steele now lives on a robotic body. Brendan Fraser is going to be voicing the character and will be playing Cliff Steele in flashback scenes, but it's actually going to be a different actor on set because they're going to have somebody in a physical costume on set. That actor's name's Riley Shanahan. That's going to be dubbed over by Brendan Fraser. So interesting choices, although we're not really going to see him on screen all that much, I don't think, unless they do lots of flashback things. But, you know, it's always nice to see Brendan Fraser on stuff after his stuff on The Mummy and that sort of thing. So
yeah, everybody remembers The Mummy.
Yes, everybody remembers The Mummy. So that's quite a good... I'm quite looking forward to that series because it's written by Jeremy Carver, who's one of the Supernatural guys. So I think that could be quite interesting and could have some quite good humour in it. They've also announced that the if we move over onto the Arrowverse, the Batwoman crossover is going to feature Superman and Lois Lane, apparently. So we know that the big crossover this year is going to have Ruby Rose as Batwoman in it, playing the female Dark Knight, and is going to see Barry, Ollie and Kara head off to Gotham, as far as we know. Tyler Hoechlin, who was played Superman in the Arrowverse previously, is going to be coming back. Apparently he's on for all three episodes of the crossover.
That's great news.
Which is really good, because I did really like him as Superman.
Yeah, he really does work.
And I'm glad that DC have sort of relented and allowed them to use that character. I would like them to be able to use Batman as a sort of little character in some of the shows, you know, and do the pop-in thing like they do with Superman. That would be nice to see on screen as well.
Never going to happen.
Yeah, probably not. But then, you know, we would have said the same thing about Superman when the movies came out, so I don't know. But they are going to introduce Lois Lane as well. We've not seen Lois Lane yet, so, and they've not announced casting for her yet.
I think they announced the casting had begun.
Yeah, they are looking for somebody, and that casting's got to happen reasonably soon because the crossover is happening in December in the US. So it'll be December-ish probably over here, and they've got to shoot that at some point reasonably soon. So hopefully that we'll hear the casting for that relatively soon. Lois has been mentioned numerous times because we've seen Lucy Lane and we've seen Sam Lane, the father in Supergirl, but we've never seen Lois. So, should be good. Over on The Flash, they've got a new bit of casting. They've cast a contortionist to play Ragdoll, who is a Jay Garrick era villain, I think. Or originally started off in sort of Jay Garrick era, although I think he has popped up in a couple of other times. I thought this was an interesting move because Ragdoll basically is a villain that is a contortionist and turns to villainy when the carnival he's working for sort of hits hard times and realizes that he can hide in the Ragdoll costume of a department store to sort of hide there when the department store closes, and then he can go and rob it. And that's sort of how Ragdoll emerges as a character, but he is a contortionist. So I think the idea of actually casting a contortionist in the role is quite a clever one because it saves you on a bunch of CGI, if nothing else. So I think that's quite a nice idea. The contortionist that they've gone for is a guy called Troy James, who's actually had a couple of TV shows under his belt. He's done some work on The Strain, on Shadowhunters, and on Channel Zero as well, mainly in sort of under heavy makeup, playing roles like he played the sort of vampire zombie creatures in The Strain, which always moved in a very strange way. So you can see the sort of type of character. He's also appeared as himself on America's Got Talent, apparently, as well. So, I think that's a really canny idea. Also, over on Supergirl, they've announced that Anthony Kunichi is joining the DEO, playing Agent Jensen. So this is going to be a new recruit by Alex, who, if you remember from the season's finale, is now in control of the DEO. Apparently, he will appear in the first episode, and he's struggling to find his footing in his new job. It's not an actor I particularly know. He played MX-43 in Almost Human, that short-lived J.J. Abraham series. Also popped up in X-Men Apocalypse and 50 Shades of Grey, apparently he was in as well. So not an actor I particularly know, but he's appearing on there. And also over on Supergirl, they've announced that Bruce Boxleitner will replace Brent Spiner. As we announced a few weeks ago, Brent Spiner was supposed to be joining the show as the vice president. Apparently, due to some family matter, it's not entirely clear why, but it's something to do with his family, which is conflicting with the production dates. He's had to pull out of the role. So Bruce Boxleitner, who you will know from shows such as Babylon 5 and Tron, he is stepping into the role as the vice president Baker, who is apparently going to be a fairly large character, recurring role in the new season, presumably having something to do with the president on that series, which is played by Linda Carter, aka the original Wonder Woman.
And the fact that she's an alien.
Yes. So I suspect it has something to do with that.
Probably being outed. So.
Yes. I would think that probably is. So that's going to be kind of interesting. And it's sad that we're not going to get Brent Spiner in there, but I think Bruce is a great replacement for that.
Yeah, definitely.
Really good switch. And then lastly in news, we have some announcements for Armando Iannucci's new sci-fi comedy pilot for HBO, which is called Avenue 5, which I think we mentioned a while back. They've announced that Hugh Laurie will be taking one of the roles and Susie Nakamura is taking one of the other roles. We don't really know much about the show other than it's a comedy pilot. It's set in the future, mostly in space. It's based around this spaceship called the Avenue 5. It's from Armando Iannucci, which is very much a kind of interesting area for him to go into because most of his stuff has been political satire things up until this point. He's the creator of Veep and various other things that have been political kind of satire shows like The Thick of It, and he was involved in The Day-to-Day as well. So Hugh Laurie is going to be playing the captain of the ship. It's a guy called Ryan Clark, and charming and in control American captain of the Avenue 5 spaceship. And Susie Nakamura, who starred in Dr. Ken, she's playing Iris Kumara, who is the right hand to the billionaire owner of the company behind the Avenue 5. Although we know very little about the show, I am incredibly excited for it because I love Armando Iannucci stuff. I adore Veep. I love The Thick of It. So, and I love Hugh Laurie. So I think this is going to be interesting. And I'm very interested to see what HBO do with a sci-fi comedy as well. You don't get many sci-fi comedies.
Not many, no.
This sort of Red Dwarf, and they've had a few other attempts at it, but Red Dwarf's kind of the only one that really springs to mind as being anything successful. Possibly Galaxy Quest and the movie side, which I know there are supposed to be a TV series being made for Galaxy Quest as well. But
well, there's the McFarlane one.
Oh yeah, there's the Orville as well. Yep. Of course, is the other one. But I do wonder if there's going to be political stuff in this, given that it's Armando, and whether that's going to play into it somehow as well. But very intrigued to see what happens with this. It could be a very interesting show. That's all the news we've got for this week. Because we did the mini interviews earlier, we're not going to have a big interview this week, so we'll go straight on to highlights for next week on TV. Highlights for next week on TV. We kick off with Day 5, which is coming to Pick TV on the 28th of August at 10 p.m. New apocalyptic drama where sleep can kill you, apparently. Are you aware of this show? It's a sort of zombie-esque drama, I think.
I'm not. It does sound interesting, though. It definitely sounds like something that's worth taking a look at.
Yeah, I mean, Pick TV have sort of picked up some interesting shows because they run this and they run Zade Nation. So I have a feeling it could be one that's worth looking out for. But Day 5, it's called, and that's on the 28th of August on Pick TV at 10 p.m. Upstart Crow returns for its third season. That's on BBC Two on the 29th of August at 8:30. This is the David Mitchell, Ben Elton series where he plays William Shakespeare. And it's hilarious if you've not seen it. If you're a fan of things like Blackadder, together. It's not quite got the level of satirical comedy that you had with something like Blackadder Go Forth, but it's still very funny and very watchable. David Mitchell is great in it, and I do really enjoy it. It's great skewering fun at Shakespeare, I think, in that. But that's coming to BBC Two on the 29th of August at 8:30. The Jack Ryan series, finally, is going to be out on the 31st of August on Amazon Prime. You can't have failed to see a promo for this of somewhere in the last sort of few months, because it's been everywhere. So looks kind of interesting. Is this one for you?
I've actually read a crazy amount of the Jack Ryan books, probably up to when he becomes president.
Right.
So
does he become president in the book? Interesting. Okay.
Oh yeah. Yes, he does.
Ah, I mean, intriguing. So
in one of the greatest bits of things, where he is vice president,
right,
and he's about to resign, but then a disgruntled Japanese pilot flies his jumbo jet into the Senate thing for the State of the Union address.
Ah.
And he becomes president.
Interesting. Sorry for the spoilers for people that haven't read all the Jack Ryan books ever.
But it's been 20-something years. So.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that's fair. But so this is obviously a prequel to all that sort of stuff. And
it's sort of reimagined, because obviously Jack Ryan is set quite some time ago. It seems to be dealing with modern conflicts.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is a sort of reimagining of it, but it's a young Jack Ryan in the start of his career, played by John Krasinski. I'm very much looking forward to this. I know Amazon are very proud of it because they've already renewed it for a second season. So yes, 31st of August for that on Amazon Prime. I think that's going to be one worth watching. Ozark returns for its second season on Netflix, also on 31st of August. So that will be the other thing that I will be binging through, because I really enjoyed the first season of that. Stars Jason Bateman as a money launderer who uproots his family to the Missouri Ozarks when a deal with a Mexican drug cartel goes awry, and he sort of finds himself treading on people's toes when he gets to the Ozarks as well. It's very dark in places. There is some comedy elements to it, but it's a very similar to a sort of Breaking Bad feeling, you know, in the way that had dark comedy elements to it as well. Really solid show, though. If you've not watched Ozark season one, go and watch it. It's really, really good. And very much looking to the second season of that. The Originals, the fifth and final season of that, comes to Netflix on the 1st of September, finally.
Wow, that's pretty late. But if you're a fan, it's great. You want to definitely get yourself watching it. It's really well done. Obviously, they knew it was going to be the final season before it started filming, so it works out well, and it leads very well into the upcoming show Legacies, which is all about Hope Michelson and her supernatural thing back in Mystic Falls.
Yes.
So
yes,
hopefully that show will be good. Yeah. If you have an interest in all things Vampire Diaries and that shared universe, definitely grab it.
Yeah.
Go buy some snacks and sit down. I think it's 10 episodes, isn't it?
Something like that, yes. Yeah. It's definitely one I will be watching as well. 1st of September for The Originals, Season 5. We don't know where Legacies is going to end up over here yet. Hopefully somebody picks it up. I would hope Netflix pick it up and run it weekly would be nice, but we'll have to wait and see. Also on Netflix, Shameless USA Season 7, that's coming to Netflix on the 1st as well. I've not watched any episodes of the US or the UK version of Shameless, but I know that's quite popular. So that's back on the 1st of September. And The Truth About Harry Kubik Affair, that's the mini series which has been trailered quite a bit on Sky Witness. That's coming on the 4th of September at 9 p.m. Stars Patrick Dempsey and an adaptation of the Joel Dickers best-selling novel. It's a 10-part adaptation, and that's a mini-series, so it's not like going to come back for a second season, as far as we're aware. That's Sky Witness, 4th of September for that. And that's everything, unless you've got anything else you want to add in.
No, that's it.
You can find Daryl at
Hollywood News Source, and in the upcoming dates, I will be doing a recap for The Gifted over on Starry Mag, so look for that in the coming months.
Yes, that'll be quite useful. I might go and check that out, because because I need to remember what happened at the end of the last season. Yeah. For us, obviously, you can find everything at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions and comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram @geektownuk. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.